I'll tell you, it's like a flood of emotions, you know, knowing Uncle Mike and knowing him before he was saved and growing up with his kids. And I'm not going to go into some of the things that lost people do, but I'll tell you what, there sure has been a change. There sure has been a change in my Uncle Mike and Greg and in me. What a blessing. So I'll give my quick personal testimony for a few moments. And a personal testimony you need to be careful about when you give your personal testimony. You don't want to glorify sin. It's okay to mention some of the things to show the folks that are going to listen what God has done for you. But if I was to sit here and glorify my sin and talk about all the cool things I did as a lost person, that would be wrong. That would be wrong. And that would be in my flesh. So I try to be very careful. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Job chapter 5, verse 7. This has always been my life verse as far as getting saved and as far as what the Lord has done for me. In no way, shape, or form I can compare myself to Job. But this verse right here is a blessing to me. Job 5:7. The Bible says in Job chapter 5, verse 7, yet man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. And I tell you, the testimony of me being changed is just the validity of the Bible. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature. He's new. And when I got saved, let me say, there was a change. And it was a tremendous change. And I mean, the very next day, somebody else. I was not. I was saved. I was a child of God. And I remember the next day going into Wawa and coming in across some of the high school students that I used to be friends with and a big old guy named Jimmy, and I chased him around the store. Guess what happened to me? Jimmy, guess. Well, he knew. He was like, this is weird. What's wrong with him? I said, I got saved. I want to tell you about it. He's like, I got to go. And I'm like, what's wrong with him? He don't want to hear about Jesus Christ? What's wrong with this guy? What a lesson that was, huh? That's a blessing. Now, the Bible says, Job, he said, a man was born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. My birth and my background, I was born in 1974. I feel old when I say that, right? 42 years old. I was born Halloween night. Get in the chair, son. I was born Halloween night, 6 p.m. My dad was a warlock. You need to get in the chair. He wasn't a male witch, but he was in a motorcycle gang. And his grandkids are sitting here, but I just want to say this, that Papa Joe got saved and his life has changed as well. He was a 1%er motorcycle gang. And I used to, as a young kid, by the time I was 8 years old, there wasn't one thing that I didn't play around with. Nothing. Machine guns, stag movies, you name it. All that stuff I had access to at 8 years old. You know what that does to you? You know what that does to your kids? Some of y'all in here let your kids watch cable TV. There's no difference. You know what that does to your kid's mind? I got 27 years before the cross that's stuck in here. In the past 15 years, I've been battling that every single day. But by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I haven't fallen back into that stuff. Chester, Pennsylvania, I was born Halloween night. And the biker gang was rough. My dad got out of the club. He had to give his colors up and got his jaw broke and wired shut. I remember seeing my dad with wired shut jaw, broken arm, broken leg. They beat the tar out of him for getting out. He had to burn his tattoos off his arms. That's a good picture of sin, ain't it? How far will you go? That's what sin did to them. But he made up his mind to get out, but he still wasn't saved yet. He got saved in the 80s. And what a blessing that was. And he got on fire. But you know, the problem was, all the damage that was done to me between 8 years old, 10, 12, all the way up to 20s to 27 years old, that damage and all that baggage, it was on my shoulders. And it was there. And some of you in here have the same, some baggage too. I could see it on you. There's some folks in here that are carrying around some pretty heavy baggage. But the Lord can take it from you. He took it from me. Now, I remember even when I was a young child, and I got to watch what I say, but the drugs and everything else and that environment, it really messed me up. And I got hard-hearted. So as I get older, and my mom and my dad, they got divorced when I was 2 years old. I'll tell you what, don't get divorced. Stick it out for your family. Stick it out for your, because you know what will happen? God will honor your commitment, and He'll change hearts. You know what I love about the Lord? He's in a reconcile business. He likes to reckon. He gets glory for fixing stuff. You know what? A real man likes to fix stuff. And the Lord, He likes fixing stuff up, man. That's a blessing. Like putting a paint job on an old 69 Camaro, man. I like that. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Now, so growing up, I tried to do right the best I could. I always thought I had a tender heart, but I had sin. I had no direction. I had no Bible. I had no church. I had nothing. When I look at the kids in my youth group, boy, I get upset because they got it all and they take it for granted flippantly. Even like some of you in here, some of the young people in here maybe. You've got a great chance. Young Christians, Wes, you have an awesome chance to just stick and ride it out and just grow and be the man He wants you to be. What a blessing that would be. And most don't follow that path. I wanted nothing to do with God. You heard Uncle Mike talk about that. I didn't want to hear it. Well, by now, I decided my friends are getting into heroin and doing all this crazy stuff, and I didn't want no parts of that, thank God, and ended up going to the Marine Corps. So I figured I know what I need. I need Uncle Sam, right? I needed Jesus Christ, but that was later. I needed Uncle Sam. So I went into the Marine Corps, and I did really, really well. For the first time in my life, I actually had instruction I followed. I had orders I followed. I obeyed because I had to. And I did really well. I made Sergeant E5 in 2.5 years. That's fast. I got promoted really, really well, and the Lord blessed that. But the whole time, I was totally lost on the way to hell. No hope, no God. I was an alien. The Bible says a lost man is really like an ass, is what it says. It's a wild ass is what a lost person is. Just all over the place, doing whatever he wants to do for his own pleasure, to feed his own flesh. You know what I did? That's what I was doing. I was from 24. I was 20, about 19 years old to 24. I was in the Marine Corps. I got promoted fast, making money, had a nice vault ceiling, lived in a real beautiful apartment. Had people under me in the Marine Corps. Boy, I'll tell you what, I had some pride. I had some pride. Christians are no different. You know, Christians get stuck up too. Why, I don't know. You don't realize where you come from, huh? Amen. And the problem is the Lord has a way of reminding you where you come from. Yes. He really does. Amen. And you know what? I appreciate that. Because every one of us is human, and sometimes you think, boy, I've arrived. I've got a good church to come to. I've got a King James Bible. Boy, I'm really something. The truth is, you're nothing. That's the truth. And neither am I. Without Jesus Christ, I am nothing. Amen. Absolutely nothing. So, this time in my life, I'm rock hard. Just solid in my mind and just like a machine. I mean, they brainwash you and I'm tough and I'm strong and all that junk. And I really think I'm something. And about this time, in the 80s, he tries to witness to me and he's all up. And he gets something to the door. Come on in. He's all messed up. And so he's witnessing to me. And just like Uncle Mike said, I don't want nothing to do with it. It's of sin, right? That's right. The fowls of the air come in Matthew 13 and just take the good seed. And I remember your son, Mike, used to always witness to me. Get out of here with that stuff. My dad would witness to me. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear it. You know what? There's another. What's your name again, sis? Susan. Susan was telling me about her daughters, how now they don't want anything to do with God. That was me, Susan. That was me. You know what? God honored my father's prayer. And that was the advice I gave to you this evening. I said, just pray. That's your job, is just to pray. The Bible talks about the prayer of a man. You know what? Your job is just to pray. Sometimes you've done all you can do and you just throw your hands up and say, God, that's all I can do. He's in your hands. And that's what my father did for me. And I was wild. I was wild. And Uncle Mike would try to witness to me, and Aunt Tammy remembers me. And it was just like, I'm out doing my own thing. I was having fun. I'm not going to tell you fun. But the Bible says that sin is what? Pleasure for a season. That's a short time. Be sure what? Your sin will find you out. You can play with sin all you want, and God will allow you to do it sometimes. You know what happens at the end of that thing? The ways are death. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's right. Death. Spiritual death, physical death. And I was headed there. So, all I know is that I was a Boilermaker. I was sitting on a tank about 100 feet in the air in Philadelphia. And I see the planes going by like they normally do, and all of a sudden they quit going by. And it was weird. What's going on? No planes? Every 30 seconds, planes going by. And all of a sudden, everything's quiet. It's September 11th, by the way, 2001. And what happened was, we know what happened, it was a terrorist attack. The towers fell and everything else, and people died and lost their lives. And the Lord used that to soften my heart and get me saved. So, I'm sitting at night on the TV, they called us all down, and we're sitting there at night at home, and I called my dad, and my dad was wise. He's been praying for me. He knew what was going on. I said, Dad, I said, I don't know what's going on. He says, I feel like in my heart I should go down there and try to be a help. I just feel so compelled to go down the ground and be a part. He says, go, go. What a blessing. This was years later, sis, years later. So I go down there, I use my union car, go across the ferry. I'm working for 12 hours straight, and I'm pulling out body parts. And I won't go into great detail, but it was pretty nasty, some nasty stuff I was pulling out. Just hour and hour after hour, I found myself on the last guy on that bucket line. And I'm dumping the stuff out, and dogs are coming up and doing what dogs do and grabbing the stuff and running around. And I'm taking it out of their mouth, and it was like a war zone. I was used to that. They call that fog of war. I remember a training exercise in the Marine Corps. What happens is you lay on your ground, and you lay on your back, and you go underneath barbed wire and scraping you in the face, and the ground's going like this, boom, boom, and then they have fog rolling over the field. And then they got the sirens blasting and hearing men screaming and pain. It was nuts. They call that fog of war. That's called desensitizing you. And that's why Marines are so messed up sometimes. They desensitize your brain and get used and they turn you into this machine. So when I got there, I wasn't a crying mess. It was just like, well, okay, I've seen this before. What's going on? And I'm digging through. And I'm seeing all the things that I saw. And I'll spare some little ears. But I remember pulling out this picture. The whole time my dad's praying. And I pull out this picture. And it's his son. I mean, it's not really, but I have a picture just like it at home. And Mike's got his arm around me. It looks just like your grandson with his long hair and everything else. It looks just like him. He's got his around me. It was Michael. And I remember Michael, and the Lord just kept saying to me, remember that time? Remember that time? Do you remember? I remember. And then the question came to my mind, where am I going to go when I die? Where am I going to go when I die? I had no idea. I had no idea. I knew this. I knew I wasn't going to heaven. So I come back home and drive my Jeep back across the aisle and everything else and just dead silent. And the first time in years and years and years, I'm just weeping. And I'm just crying. And I'm just broken. And I'm thinking about all the thoughts and all the senseless acts of cruelty of people killing each other. Just all this fog of war is rolling through my mind. Brokenhearted. And I remember, like, it was probably like the next day. I remember Uncle Mike called me. He said, Joe, what are you doing? I says, I ain't working. He's like, come on, work. And I start working with him on the roof. I'm like, what am I doing up here? These guys are nuts. I hate them. He's like, well, you're the only one that's sober and that you can drive, so here you go, right? So I'm working for him. And boy, there were some characters. We can go into those stories and this and that. One thing I learned about roofing is I don't want to be a roofer. I want no parts of it. But he's right. And I remember that conversation. And I remember asking you Bible questions, and you'd flip. There it is. And I said, really? And then I'd ask you another Bible question, and you'd flip it, and you'd show me the Bible. He says, there it was. And Uncle Mike poured out his heart to me. Your pastor, he's a soul winner. I'm saying that because I'm here. I'm saying it because it's the truth. And he won me over. And he had wisdom about it. Wisdom. You don't have to be a hero and try to stay and one, two, three, pray after me. That's not about that. You know what Pastor Mike did? He reached my heart. And the Lord used that and got inside their heart. My broken heart, years of baggage, years of neglect, years of my parents totally messed up. Haven't got a clue. Totally messed up. And you know what God did? That night I went home and I think he must have told me. He said, go to John chapter 3 and read it. So I remember opening that Bible itself. It was the same Bible that my dad bought me. Maybe you should buy her a Bible. For like 10 years, I carried that Bible with me. It went to Japan with me. It went to Arizona with me. I think it even went to London one time. It went all over the place. I never opened it, but I kept it out of respect for the Word of God. And I opened that night after spending 4 hours in a time warp. It was the weirdest thing in the world. It was weird. It was the Holy Spirit of God. I think that's another time the Lord stopped time. I mean, it was just like, you felt like you were just in another world. Your head was just like not even there. And the Holy Spirit just answered my question. And it was amazing. It was the truth. The Bible says, they that worship me must worship me in what? Spirit and in truth. And that night I went home, and by the way, I'm not going to say one thing, but what he did say was something that I was fighting personally the night before in my sin. The very night before. And he hit on it. He didn't even know. He had no idea. And I was like, how did he know? How did he know I did that last night? How does he know? The Holy Spirit of God knows. That's why. The eyes of the Lord in every place. What? Beholding the evil and the good. God knows exactly what you're doing, when you're doing. He knows what you're thinking right now at this moment. All things are open and naked before Him. All things. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows everything about you. He knows stuff that you don't know about yourself. So that night I got on my knees and I meant business. I said, Lord, I know I deserve to go to hell. You see, it wasn't 1, 2, 3, pray after me. You want to go to heaven and get saved. That didn't cut it. I was in trouble. I was in real trouble and I knew it. And I prayed out and I read that thing. It was me and the King James Bible in my basement. That was it. No preacher was there. No, nobody was there. And I read John chapter 3 and it kept saying, you must be born again. Over and over like a drill. Just hammer me. And I was snotting up and crying all over the place. And I said, Lord, please save me from hell. Come into my life and just save me. Make me a new, whatever I prayed. I don't remember exactly, but I knew this. I meant it. I meant business. And if you mean business, you can get saved too. Not only that, if you mean business with God, He'll use you. You can serve. You don't know. You know what he's telling my wife? Just hold on, because it's like a roller coaster. You never might have money in church. Who knows? But I know this. If you sell out to God, He'll use you. He'll use you. I mean, what a wild testimony. What a wild testimony. It was a blessing. So at this time, now I just brand new guy. And his son, Mike, was down in Bible school, and I didn't have a job. Now I just lost it because I pretty much quit my other job September 11th. So he took me down to Bible school. I went to Bible school for a little while. And I get under that hardcore Bible teaching. I learned the fundamentals in the faith. I learned about the King James Bible. I learned about the basic doctrines. And what a blessing that was, just to get that root, that foundation. And Lord, you could testify to this. I'll tell this story. I remember, I've known Lori for a long, long time. We were friends way when I was lost. And I won't get into all that stuff, but she knows who I was before I am what I am now. And I get saved. I don't think you were saved yet. And I went to her house as a brand new babe in Christ.
November 11th,
that year I got saved. Amen. It was right after that. That was a blessing. So I'm sitting next to her, like she's sitting on the couch here, and I'm here, and I'm witnessing to her about the Bible. And I'm doing this, and things are starting to click. And all of a sudden, and she keeps a clean house, so don't take offense to this, but all of a sudden, the mouse, remember that? It's like this mouse just popped out of nowhere. It messed her all up. I mean, she was like this close to getting saved, and this mouse pops out, and I'm like, what the heck is this? And it like, and she's freaking out, and her blonde hair's flopping all over the place. It was like, Holy Spirit was like, all right, see. I was like, man. Well, she ends up getting saved. To that, man. What a blessing it was. What a blessing. And Uncle Mike would take me out as a new Christian. We'd go street preaching down 69th Street. I mean, what a blessing it was. I remember one time, and there was this black lady there, and she had AIDS. I don't know if you remember this or not. It broke my heart. And we took turns that we were preaching and this and that. And I remember she came up, and she put her hands in one of our hands or whatever and prayed with us. And she says, you think the Lord will heal me? I think the Lord could heal you, yes. But I bet you she's probably not even alive anymore. But I'll see her again. She's in heaven. She's in heaven. You know, this thing is a lot bigger than just you and me. Do you know that? You know, this battle that we're in, this Christian race, is a lot bigger than just, this is just my short testimony. Everybody in here has their own testimony. And I just thank God that He made Himself real to me. I mean, I could probably sit here for an hour and just go on about story after story after story. I mean, it was pretty wild preaching on the street. I remember one time, I remember this like last night. Uncle Mike's preaching. I forget exactly what he was saying, but I mean, he's loud. Let's just be honest. He's got a big mouth and he's loud. And the Lord uses that, and it's a blessing. So he's preaching, and this crazy homeless dude comes up right in front of him and spits right in his face, right in his. And I'm like, oh no, Uncle Mike's gonna kill this guy. He's gonna punt his head across the street. I'm like, oh no. They're like, what is this guy thinking? And he didn't do it. And he just took it. He just took it. And for the first time in my whole street preaching life, for almost 15 years now, I got hit in the face this last season myself. And I took it. I didn't hit him back. I was close. But I didn't hit him back. And that was a blessing. It was a blessing. So my Uncle Mike, he's like my spiritual father. And I thank God for him. I would say that if he wasn't a pastor here, because you know what? It's not really about Uncle Mike. It's just about a Christian that was doing his job. Do you know that? And I happen to love him because he's my uncle. We're close. But do you know the bottom line is? He's no different than you. He's just a Christian doing his job. And the Lord will use you the same way if you'll just do your job. You know that? I thought about that this morning. And boy, I tell you, I was really struggling about what to preach. And I went, she's like, what's wrong with you? I said, well, something I learned about the Lord over the years is you can prepare all you want until the cows come home. But sometimes at that last minute, the Lord will just change things on you. Because really the goal is the Lord tries to minister to your hearts through another man. And the trick is, it's not a trick, but the idea is that man needs to, I need to be prayed up. I need to be prepared so the Lord could use me. Like Greg says, you want the Lord to use you, preparation of the heart, step one. If you don't prepare your heart so the Lord can have a clean slate, he cannot use you. It'll all be in the flesh. Every man, woman, and child in here, the Lord can use you. And he wants to use you. The ball's in your court and it's up to you. And I'm looking forward to the Lord using me for the rest of my life. I really am. I'm looking forward to coming back and getting to know more. And I'm getting ready to want to see some of my other family members get together and preach. And that would be a blessing. I just want to thank the Lord. And I really appreciate how good God's been to me. I really had a low-life sinner like me, and he just saved me and then called me to preach, and here I am. Sorry you had to listen to me, but here I am. Amen. Now, that's my testimony. And I'll tell you what, you couldn't take that away from me. You could take my life away from me. You couldn't take my sin away from me. I'm saved. I believe the King James Bible. The Lord did everything to me. So specific and so special in my life that I have no doubt that I'm saved. And if you doubt your salvation, amen. I'm not downing you. That was cute. Amen. That was cute. Out of the mouth of babes, right? I'm just saying, if you're not sure that you're saved tonight, it's real easy. It's so easy that a child can get it. If I can receive Christ, then you can too. It's simple. Do you know that? Anyone can receive Christ. A child can receive Him. I hope tonight, just by hearing my testimony, I'll leave you with this thought. Is what's your testimony? You know, it's a shame because I know some people that left here today, I know they weren't saved. And I could look to a spot where they should be sitting and they're not. And I'm thankful that you all are here. But pray for some of these folks. Man, because the Lord get a hold of their heart, man, what a blessing. Not only do they get to go to heaven, but to have the same joy. I see a lot of smiles on faces out here. It's a blessing. Some of you ain't smiling. Some of you look kind of grumpy, almost constipated, really. I'm just being honest. Now you're all laughing, right? Now you're all laughing. But really, you know why that is? Because you're struggling with something. Because the Bible says face answers to face. So you know that your face shows your heart. Do you know that? And I want to tell you something in here. If you're struggling with something, you're in the right place. You come to church. You're not going to judge you for who you are or what you're going through. You know what? This is like a place of healing. You get on the Word of God, get on the preaching, and God will do something. He'll use the pastor, and He'll give you what you need to grow. And maybe a couple of years from now, you'll be out doing something for the Lord, and this is just one step in the road to doing what you're supposed to do for the Lord. I want to encourage you to think about that. And let's pray. Father, thank you for my testimony. Thank you, Lord, that you made it clear. I pray, Lord, tonight, if you're just not sure, I pray that you please would save them, Lord. I pray that you would deal with them, Lord, specifically, Lord, as you dealt with me. I just pray that you'd have your willing way today. And thank you for Pastor Wilps and his congregation. I pray you'd be with them and guard them and help them and continue to bless this ministry, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.